Let us pray. Our most righteous and holy Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you thankful for the day that you've given us and for this time, Father, that you've granted us to gather together as saints in this location to study your word, to sing songs of praise to your name, Father, and hear another message brought from your word. Father, as we come before your throne, we pray that you would forgive us of those things that we've done wrong in our lives, Father, that you would help us to recognize the errors and the things that we may have done, that you would help us to be guided to do the things that are right and to make the next necessary corrections in our lives, Father. Father, we're mindful of those that are sick, those that are away from us this evening. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your hand will be upon them, that you would return them to their much-wanted health, Father. As well, we're mindful of those that are traveling tonight. Father, we pray that you would be with them and give them a safe journey to and from their destinations. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of this country and those that represent us in our government. We pray, Father, that they would seek after your wisdom and your knowledge in all that they do, and everything would be done, Father, according to your will. Father, we pray you should be with Rex this evening as he brings us another message from your word. May we take those things, Father, and may we take them to others in this world and apply them to our own lives, Father, and live a life that's pleasing before you. Heavenly Father, we pray that everything that we do here and in our lives are done in truth and in spirit, and are done to give you all the glory and praise that you so rightly deserve as our Creator and as our Father. And above all, Father, we're so thankful for your love that you've shown all men, that you would allow your Son to come to this world to become our sacrifice on that cross. Father, we are so thankful for your love and for his love for us, Father, that he would be willing to do all that for us, that through him and through his blood that he shed, we can have forgiveness of our sins, have mercy and grace from you. We offer this prayer through his name. Amen.
Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, if you will. Genesis chapter 3. Take just a few moments here at the end of our service and the end of our day to consider a very important and influential statement, if you will, from the Scriptures. I think one of the most challenging phrases that has ever been uttered in all of history for every generation on earth is the phrase, "Has God indeed said?" Has God indeed said? Look at Genesis chapter 3. Now, I'm reading from the King James, but that phrase is actually in the New King James. Has God indeed said? Genesis chapter 3. "Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said," or that's where the King James says, "hath indeed God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." We'll stop there for this evening, for that passage. So in the perfect harmony of God's garden in Eden in the east, in an unmarred relationship that Adam and Eve had with God, no guilt, no shame, no other hindrance to their relationship together, came into it the cunning serpent, asking what seemed to be an innocent-sounding question to start with. Has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman answered, We may, but not of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, for God said, Don't eat it or touch it, lest we will die in that day. And the serpent followed his statement with an outright lie. You shall not surely die, which was a contradiction directly to what God said that Eve had just quoted, that she understood what God said. Maybe she didn't understand what all of it meant, but she knew what God had said, and now the serpent is saying that that wasn't true. So it was a simple question that Satan asked her, but it did have some charged aspects to the phrase. Has God indeed said? Just four words, but packed with just a fraught of rethinking what she already knew and quoted that she knew. The serpent was, by these phrases, calling into question the very word of God. Has God indeed said that? You might say it, I think the ESV says, has God actually said? Is that what he told you? Not to eat of every tree? So he's calling into question the word of God and really wanting Eve to question what God said. Even though she could quote it back, he wanted her to question and doubt what she just said that she understood. And so he posed this question, and then, as I said, he added a lie to it, or at least changed the subject. Because God was saying that she would die, Adam and Eve would die, if they touched or looked upon this tree and ate of it. In the day that they ate of it, they would surely die. He contradicted God, although he also might have changed the subject, that they would not physically die that day. But God was talking about a spiritual death, separated from him because of the sin they committed against his word. And so this phrase that he used, has God indeed said, questioned the very word of God. To have Eve question, is it true what God said? There was no doubt of that before. They lived in the garden in perfect harmony with God. When God said what he did, they believed it, accepted it, and quoted it back. But now Satan wants her to question, is that true? Does he mean what he says? Has God indeed said what he will enforce? Does he care what is done with the things that he said? Brethren, he regularly whispers this in the ears of every generation that has come on the earth. It has literally haunted us that every generation, every individual hears this phrase and entertains it. Though the devastating effects in the garden are clear to the wrong answer, the wrong response to that question that Satan posed, It is really at the core of every temptation that there is. Every social evil, every moral compromise that we still face in our own lives today. Has God indeed said not to worry? Has God indeed said He will provide for you? Has God indeed said that judgment will come to all people? You can see the very phrasing of the question, using Satan's words there, calls into question whether or not those things are true. Is that what God actually meant? Is it true? Does He stand behind it? Will He enforce it? Will He maintain it? Will He fulfill His promise in those things? We can take it further. Has God indeed said that there is male and female? Has God indeed said that all life is precious, even in the womb? Has God indeed said that Jesus is the only way to the Father? Has God indeed said that baptism doth now save us? The follow-up questions to any of those things may have changed from generation to generation. What is actually asked about might change from generation to generation. We're going through a time of social upheaval, it seems like, in our country and in the world. But the premise remains the same. Has God spoken on these things, and did He mean what He said? Has He actually said these things are true, or these things are enforced, or these things promised? And see, when we question those things that have been said, then we are questioning His word, and therefore the character of God. Is He powerful enough to maintain this? Is He powerful enough to enforce what He has said? Will He do it no matter what society thinks, or what my decision is about it? See, they're not innocent questions, really, are they? It calls into question God's authority to say what is right and what is wrong. It strikes at the very core of our faith, because Satan was trying to get Eve to question what she knew in her heart. She fully believed and accepted as truth, and he made her question that, or convinced her to, by a simple question. Has God actually said that? Well, He did say this. Now, that's not what He would have meant. And she chose to believe the lie rather than the truth. It's really a simple expression. Has God indeed said? This is whatever follows that. It's a question of whether or not God can be trusted. Is His word true? Is His word a loving word for us? Does He say these things for our benefit? Or are we to analyze it to find the trap? Fortunately, we are not left to wonder. We're not left to wonder. He did give us His word. He did tell us the truth about these things. All those questions that we could ask, and you could add anything you want to into the phrase that as I gave those examples a moment ago. God did choose to communicate with us and tell us what the truth is. He did share with us what He knows is true and what He expects of us. And He didn't just give us a book. He did record much of it, but He didn't just give us a book, He gave us Himself. He gave Jesus to show how these things were true. He taught through them the disciples who would teach others how to live, an example that we could follow. Paul even said that we could follow his example as he followed Christ. So He gave us example, and He gave us a proof of the things that He taught. And when we dig into the written word, we discover the living Word of God. And we find true life in God's Word. And the answer to those four words, yes, indeed, God has said. God has said. If you're ready to answer the Lord, if you're ready to look at that question and answer, yes, the Lord has said, and therefore that is what I will do, that is what I shall do, that is what I believe, and that is what I'll answer, what God has said. If you believe that God has indeed said that you will only come to Him through His Son Jesus, that baptism does save us, then we are encouraged to respond to that gospel message. And we're going to sing a song right now to encourage you to answer the question, has indeed God said, and what do you believe about what he has said? Please let that be known as we stand to sing and encourage you.
Dear our Father, who art in heaven, we come to you with humility and understanding and how great you are. We give thanks for the country that you've given to us, that we can worship together without persecution. And we thank you for the word that you've given to us, that it brings us the promise and the hope and understanding of the life after this one. We ask that you help those who are not with us, that they can join us again, whether it be physical or spiritual ailments. We ask that you help us to live in accordance with your word as we go throughout the world and teach others and bring your light to all places we go. We ask that you help us to have patience and wisdom in our dealings. We thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross so that we can have the hope and the comfort to know that you are in control and that you love us. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.